This is Everyday Wealth with award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and personal finance expert Gene Chatsky.
So when we were talking with Jason just a moment ago, you know, about people coming in to try to navigate, I have a new spouse and what that's going to look like from financial planning, I'm curious about how you think about estate planning in that same perspective.
So I have this conversation all of the time with clients. I know that Jason does as well about the importance of not only having an estate plan, but making sure it's contemporaneous for what you'd like to happen. But an estate plan is, it's not simply a will, but it might be a will and a revocable trust. But there are also ancillary estate planning documents. So it's a durable power of attorney and a healthcare proxy. So those are the documents that come into play while you're still alive, but you might be incapacitated or you might need someone to help you with your finances. It can include a living will, which is a document where you state your end-of-life wishes. Do you want someone to pull the plug? Do you want to hang on as long as possible? It can include burial instructions. So what do you want to happen to you when you're gone? And then also when we're looking at holistic estate planning, it's also looking at those non-probate assets, those things are going to pass outside of your will or your revocable trust, such as IRA beneficiary designations, a 401k beneficiary designation, life insurance beneficiary designations. It's all part of the holistic estate planning process.
What is it about a blended family that makes all of this so much more complicated?
Estate planning with blended families can be kind of easy. If it's what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine, that can be easy. With blended families, I think those ancillary estate planning documents are so important. Because who do you want to make healthcare decisions for you if you're not able to? Do you want it to be your adult children, or do you want it to be your new spouse? Those questions are really important too if mom and dad aren't married. Because for many children just assume they're going to be their parents' healthcare proxy even after they've remarried or if they're just living with someone. You know, I recently had this conversation with my mom. My mom is in her 60s. She's in a committed relationship with a man. They have a house, they have a cat, but they're not married and they don't plan to marry. And so I had the conversation with my mom. If anything happens to you, I'm making the healthcare decisions, right? And she very thoughtfully said, no, I'd like that to be my companion. And I was a little taken aback, but it makes perfect sense. But it's important to have those conversations. So even if parents aren't necessarily comfortable having an estate planning conversation with their children and sharing issues, talking about their net worth, I think it's important to have the conversations about who's going to be the agent under the durable power of attorney? Who's going to be the healthcare proxy? Because you just don't want the surprises, because surprises can potentially lead to arguments. And that's just not a good thing when someone's in the hospital or someone's recently passed away.
I think you're right. I think if you have older children from your first marriage who might feel like, well, I know my mom or my dad better than their new spouse knows mom or dad. They've been in my life longer. Or, you know, I understand their values better than a new spouse might. Have you had to help people navigate that conversation? It sounds very potentially very dramatic and very could end badly.
You're absolutely correct. It's the navigation piece. It's one awkward Thanksgiving dinner where you're sitting down with the children, you're sitting down with the new spouse, and you're having the conversation about who's making healthcare decisions, who's going to be my agent under my durable power of attorney, which means who's going to pay the bills if I can't do it, who's going to cancel the streaming service, as well as where am I going to be buried? The kids might think I want to be buried in Ohio in the family cemetery plot while my new husband and I have discussed being cremated with our ashes scattered on the golf course in Florida. Don't let that conversation be a surprise, because that's when things turn really ugly.
I love the visual of one awkward Thanksgiving dinner. If we could settle all of this at one terrible Thanksgiving, families across the country would be so much better off. I mean, for me, one of the thorniest issues was I have trusts set up for my children, and deciding who was going to be the trustee for that, right? I mean, I'm no longer married to their father. And as I thought about, all right, if something were to happen to me, who is going to have the best interests of my children at heart? I decided to make my ex-husband the trustee. I decided that that was actually in the best interest of my kids. So he's actually co-trustees with my mother. And I figured they'll keep each other honest.
That sounds a little awkward, though. Like, how did your new husband feel about, you know who I'd love to loop into this trust?
Yeah, you know, he didn't love it, quite frankly. But these are trusts for my children. This is money that existed before I came into the marriage. You know, going back to the conversation about my money and his money, he got over it pretty quickly, and I have his ex-wife for Thanksgiving every year. So I think it's even.
Well, here's one other piece to add. Don't forget about the power that is the corporate trustee. So you have the option that it doesn't have to be friends or family, that you can hire typically an attorney that they can sort through that level of being the trustee if you didn't have that great relationship with your ex-spouse. That's another avenue to explore with clients.
And, you know, Jean and Jason, talking about the choice of trustee, that's a huge and important conversation. Being a trustee or being an executor isn't an easy job. And so you really want to be thinking about who's the best person. So let's say that under your estate plan, you want to create a trust for the benefit of your wife so that she'll have assets if she needs them. And whatever she doesn't need might pass to your children at her death. Well, who should be the trustee of that trust? Should it be your wife? Should it be your kids? Should it be both? Don't do that. It always sounds great on paper. It never works out. Or do you want that neutral third party? As Jason said, do you want a corporate trustee? Would you like an attorney, another trusted friend? But those are also important conversations that people don't necessarily think about. They tend to default to their oldest child. Well, maybe your oldest child has a job and four kids and isn't going to have the runway to be the executor of your estate.
Hey, Erin, I've heard the term spendthrift trust. What is that?
So a spendthrift trust is a trust that is drafted in a way that can protect the assets of the trust from a beneficiary's creditors. So for example, if you set up a trust for your child, it can be drafted in such a way that if your child has debts, and that can be credit card debt, that can be an automobile accident, that can be a potential former spouse or soon to be former spouse, that those assets are protected from collection from creditors, so a credit card company would not be able to attach to those assets. Those assets wouldn't be subject to a property dissolution upon divorce.
Everyday Wealth with Soledad O'Brien and Jean Chatsky is sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. To learn more, visit our website, everydaywealth.com.